Audiobook of Old from the 50s, Onyfos and More. Title. Requested by the Guardians of the Cell Worlds. The book I'm in the midst of writing is not comprised of myths, tales of old, nor is it a book of fairy tales based on handed down information. Not all, but a great deal of what you will read combined with illustrated photos has never been written nor shown before. Aside from this, I have been recently asked by the Guardians of the Cells to release part of what was requested of me to begin writing, which first began many years ago. They feel the time has come for you all to know who they are and why they are now asking for your help, beginning with uniting together as one people. Many ancient books documenting past events have been rewritten over and over, eventually causing unnecessary arguments and confusion amongst you all. There is no need for this, as many documented events of the past that have been discovered have not actually taken place on this world. They are of others' personal history brought here with them, as refugees from their own worlds which were war-torn or became too unsuitable to continue to live on. The Star Visitors are well aware that this world has become greatly unstable, and they do know why. The intensity of movement began with those who made an extremely dangerous decision to detonate an atomic bomb on the morning of July 16, 1945. That explosion sent shockwaves rippling outwards throughout this solar system and beyond, which then alerted many star beings all over the cosmic realm and prompted immediate in-person investigation by them. After speaking with some of the elders from various different tribes as to what had taken place here, the Star Visitors left in urgent haste to voice their grave concerns to the Council of Guardians of the Cells. It was then decided an immediate intervention was necessary. Their first peaceful attempt at contact was with President Truman in 1945. This attempt failed largely due to that president's threat of an all-out war against the Star Visitors if they were ever to return to this world. Various other governmental leaders around this worldly body were also contacted, along with many private individuals. Most did comprehend what was being entrusted to them as women, men and children. The only governmental leaders who refused to understand were the psychopathic minds in the US. They also threatened war against any opposition if they dared to speak out about their own personal contact. It became quite obvious to the Star Visitors who witnessed this that there was a very dark agenda operating behind the face of others supposedly in charge. While withholding this information from their own people, the US shadow government blatantly stood in the way of many other countries' leaders uniting to divulge to their own people the truth about themselves and this living world. Between 1945 and 1951 there were many who came from distant worlds and made numerous efforts to travel here to put an end to the old psychopathic mindset of madness with their constant threat of wars against them and the human governments on this world. Quite a few Star Visitors have been shot down and survivors captured, tortured, then held in secret by the vicious hands of those ignorant minds and cold, dead hearts. Many who came here were subjected to long interrogations until the death of their hybrid bodies from high-voltage electrocution. It was, and still is, way shoot first, ask questions latter scenario when survivors, if any, were found after being shot down. Over recent years many of you have discovered contact was made to exchange technology for the abductions of the people here to experiment upon. This is true, but not for the reasons you may have heard or are perhaps thinking. After numerous failed attempts, a new and very successful contact was made with a highly respected military figure who would then enter your US government in the very early 1950s. He was a man with a very understanding heart and insight, who completely understood all that had been divulged to him by the Star Visitors. An agreement was then made between them to teach humans how to create a more advanced way of long-distance communications in exchange for an aeogenetic searcher by the Star Visitors to begin locating the descendants of those who were lost to them here long ago from other worlds. Aeogenetic search. What was never shared with military officials in early 1953 from the Star Visitors and, with the exception of this one man, was that an infiltration plan into human society worldwide was already in effect as of late 1952. This was through a surrogate program agreed upon between the star visitors and their native relatives on a global scale. This migration of Manuelite life Aza to enter the newly born here amongst you all would become a new generation of people, each with a specific talent and soul memory imprinting of specific tasks to be carried out in your future. Again, this secret plan was shared only with this one man of great importance within the United States government. Only he fully understood the dire necessity for the whole truth to be told. He was offered a gift on behalf of the Guardians. For his much appreciated heartfelt understanding and assistance, Aeolite life here to enter his future family life was promised. That beautiful Aeolite life here did arrive and today still continues the fight on his behalf for the truth to be known, by all who are waiting. Aeolite life here is a higher intelligence energy form of Ao living light. Aeolite.Ao to the Dakota, Lakota and Nakota people, the 21st of June is a sacred day for prayer and world peace. Strangely enough, the first light life to enter into a new life here took place on June 21, 1953 on an island in the sun completely isolated from the rest of civilization. A when it was obvious that psychopathic military minds of past, present and future were going to shoot down the messengers. The individual Aeolite life Aza began leaving their original forms in a state of stasis to enter the surrogate program to inhabit the form you all would be able to relate to. The new migration program members would grow and learn to then travel this world many times over, gathering hidden information as technical experts, IT specialists, astronauts, astronomers, scientists, archaeologists, language experts, paleontologists, marine biologists, inventors, architects, builders, herbalists, botanists, mentors, scenic photographers of land, sea, air and beyond, artists, authors and whistleblowers. Their purpose? To be the change on this world, standing side by side with those like yourselves that have been living under the rule of ignorance and deception without any intervention for so very long. Ignorance is responsible for the truth about your origins being withheld from you all. Dogmatic political and religious zealotry are very twisted and dark roots that took hold over societies long ago. The Aeolism must stop. Through a united effort amongst all Aeolite life Aza, they have and still continue to create and build various ways to make it possible to share and communicate worldwide the truth of all that has been withheld from you via the internet and the Hubble telescope. So when and why did my own Aeolite life Aza become part of that intervention? My arrival took place many years ago. As to my reason for being here, the answer to that question will become quite obvious as you journey further along into reading and viewing all that is unknown to most of you here. As to whom my parents are, my biological father was from the Cherokee Nation, as was his mother. His father was from the Dakota people, all descendants of those who migrated to this world long ago from a star system called Pleiades. My mother was a surrogate, my biological mother was not of this world. My people amongst many other native tribes have always remained in contact with their star families throughout the generations. https://www.scribd.com/document/78465451/migration-of-the-Dakota-people-to-planet-Earth. It is not uncommon for us to be contacted via a holographic communication projection from the visitor's craft hidden within the clouds. I pick up from them spoken words via an implant I have just inside the cartilage of my left ear. On other numerous occasions, an isolated meeting place is agreed upon between both the star visitors and myself. This communication took place above my house lasting 6 minutes on the 18th of April 2014. This next craft photo was taken in Oregon in early April 2018 by Tempe Davy. This is typically the same size in the first two photos I took on April 8, 2014. All that I have written has been accomplished through direct contact with my biological mother, star relatives and occasional meetings with the guardians of the cells. My written words are accompanied by many images taken via the Hubble telescope along with multiple photographs taken by both myself and many other Aeolite life Aza that graciously contributed along the way. Their biology is our geology. Chapter 4. For many years, thousands of light lifes have traveled this world taking photographs of what appear to be strange rock formations such as giant faces and whole physical forms of a completely different species to yourselves. Also photographed is a variety of rock formations appearing to be giant animals and reptiles. These have been discovered worldwide both on land and in the sea. What their eyes see are quite real. They are aeomud fossils, a once living life forms that took refuge here on Tiamat/Earth's once beautiful, tropical paradise exterior. Surface waters of that time period only reached these giants' ankles. Rain water quenched their thirst and waterfalls were used to bathe in. They were the Titan and Olympian children together here with a select group of watchers, protectors of those children. The Watchers were a group of very young adults that you would regard in comparison to your own children as being in their mid-teens. Their average height was around 40 to 60 feet. The children here were around 20 to 25 feet in height. The Titan and Olympians on their own extremely large world of Maldk would grow up to 200 feet in height, sometimes taller. The larger the worldly cell body, the larger everything grew. These children and their protectors were placed here for safekeeping along with their livestock, animal and sea life. This was only temporary while their elders constructed an escape craft out of two halves of abandoned cells which were then sealed together in sections. Finally, the interior was made suitable for travel. There was also quite a few adults here then building temporary dwellings. Maldk was being attacked repeatedly by a species quite different to them or yourselves. They were a peaceful people of life with no previous need to fear such an invasion on their lives or their home world. During the invasion, however, they came to understand their destruction was inevitable as they had no weaponry powerful enough to continue fighting back. Their only hope of survival and saving the being within her shell was to build a craft large enough to evacuate their people in. The spherical craft under construction was floating in space not far from Maldk then. Within a short period of time the exterior was soon complete. During the final checks of the interior and the highly advanced technical drive, they were suddenly hit with a huge wave of energy generated by the explosive destruction of Maldk. The craft began to rock violently back and forth, throwing everyone inside around. When the movement had finally come to a standstill, they quickly made their way to the surface. What they saw was devastating. Their world was gone. All they could see was fire and debris flying out in every direction. They fell to their knees screaming in pain at the loss of everyone and everything they had once held so close to their hearts being destroyed. One survivor then looked up shouting out to the others, "A Maldk flies!" The being whose home had been destroyed was flying away in the distance. It is the beings within their shells, the life that sustains a world, that are named, not the exterior of her world. As they looked on they began to see scattered debris heading towards them as well as towards the many other cells within this solar system. All they could do for now was return to the safety of the interior inside their spherical craft to wait for the bombardment to cease. The spherical craft I'm referring to is known to you as your moon. The island of Australia was not untouched by the horror of the tragic event that follows. Continued in Chapter 5, The Ripple Effect, Chapter 5. There are no words to express the level of pain those people felt at the time of such a horrific tragedy. This was also witnessed by some taking temporary refuge on Tiamat/Earth close to Maldk. What they were unaware of at that specific moment is that almost all life would soon come to an end from the imminent bombardment from incoming debris. The explosion had sent rippling shockwaves throughout the cosmic realm all the way into a new space far beyond here in the midst of AO creation by the cosmic creator herself. As he re-entered this existing realm with great haste to see what had caused her cosmic web to rock so violently. What s? He saw left her completely enraged. He roared out loud in anger. This ongoing cosmic war was far from over. Soon others appeared to continue fighting off the invading enemy. During the escalation of that war, a very large planet-sized, damaged enemy warcraft took deliberate aim at Tiamat, Earth, with full intent on ending any life remaining below. Everyone there tried to evacuate as quickly as possible. There was no time. The warcraft came crashing down onto the surface, creating a very powerful explosion unlike any have ever witnessed here today. This enormous disaster sent huge chunks of Tiamat/Earth's shell flying out into the air while ripping away her left leg. What do you think of Azael? Molten lava is actually her stomach acid. He vomited violently out of control as more than a quarter of this living cell, her protective home he lives within, was ripped away. The rest of her then began spinning out of control while hurtling towards the sun star, the giver of warmth and light. In a moment of despair, the cosmic creator then reached out and grabbed Tiamat/Earth's screaming life before he was completely destroyed. He has gone from being covered in the debris from Maulk exploding, to the bloodied mess of death from all who took refuge here, scattered all over her body, critically wounded by war, to now having many humans slowly destroy what is left of her. What will it take to wake up the humans here in understanding just how small your tiny little lives are compared to the reality of her enormous living life that sustains yours? How many times do the star visitors have to abduct people here in large groups? They take you aboard their AO mother craft, I sit you all down in front of a large screen and show you the truth. Yet so few of you stand up and speak out to your ignorant governments and the rest of the populace about what you have been shown. I have been amongst you countless times when this has taken place and asked those of you selected to please come forward with the truth you have been shown. Those of you who have been shown the truth about Tiamat, Earth, all seem to be too busy along with the rest of the population worrying over random situations created by your politicians. Why are you not standing together and speaking out about who lays still wounded beneath your very tiny feet? You have allowed the fear of ridicule and political dogma to control your lives. Until the truth is understood by every woman, man and child, each and every one of you is responsible for the slow and agonizing death of this living life form. Aofs, he dies. Without her breath, all life here would soon cease to exist. To Ao, there are no words to describe the annihilation of life surrounding Tiamat/Earth's exterior. A. Continued in, Chapter 6, Re-Terraforming Tiamat's Exterior, Chapter 6. Prince Ea/Inki and Prince Enlil were urgently approached by the Ao guardians of the cell beings who, after Tiamat, Earth was wounded, to inform them just what these planets really are. Devastated in learning the truth about them, they then vowed to re-terraform her exterior and care for her well-being. Prince Ea/Inki, along with his scientists and botanists from their own home world that were temporarily staying on Ao Pluto, which they called Gaga, were to wait for a period of time to pass until Tiamat, Earth, had settled before approaching to assess her exterior damage. Even though the Titan and Olympians were completely heartbroken over losing their home world and loved ones, being of a much taller stature than Prince Ea/Inki and Prince Enlil, they proceeded to assist the Ao Cosmic Creatora in repositioning Tiamat, Earth, placing her on an outer rotational spiral away from her siblings to enable her healing process to begin. They then positioned and anchored their newly created spherical craft to Tiamat, Earth. They would allow no other to approach until they knew he had slipped back into a hibernation sleep. Until then, her constant thrashing around inside her shell made walking on the surface far too dangerous for anyone to land. Once he had slipped back into a deep sleep, the Titan and Olympians, together with Prince Ea/Inki and his brother, encircled her exterior to assess the damage. So many lost their children and friends upon her battered life form as a result of incoming debris followed by that explosion. To see their bodies scattered about all over covered in debris, there were no words to express such a painful sight. Their hearts were shattered into a million tiny fragments, as was the two brothers. The tall ones knew then, they could never leave her side in fear of another attack against her. They returned to their own moon, Kraft leaving the two princes to set down on her surface to take a closer look at the horror that had befallen her and all those, including some of their own people who were living there, that had lost their lives. How did people of Prince Ea/Inki's size communicate with those of such a large stature, you might be asking yourself, at this point? They used handheld communicators to speak to one another, the same way you speak to each other on a mobile phone. Different frequency settings enabled communications between the different heights of people over a long distance apart. Tiamat, Earth was mostly a water world before Prince Enlil had previously decided to blast some holes into her exterior. The purpose was to drain off some of the water, exposing part of the interior beneath. He thought it was just land under the sea before learning the truth about her. Ao, this time around will be much different, Prince Ea/Inki told his brother. Prince Enlil agreed, adding that he and his men would patrol the air while the planting of new life began. This was overseen by his brother Prince Ea/Inki. Long days turned into starlight nights as the refurbishment continued on. It wasn't long before the newly planted grass seedlings began to sprout. Freshly planted trees grew tall, amongst them, many fruit trees were soon to bear a variety of fruit. They also grew a large selection of colorful vegetables for food consumption, along with many herbs with healing properties. Prince Ea/Inki's proudest achievement was beautifying her exterior with fields of perfumed flowers in an array of colors as far as your eyes could see. His heartfelt dedication to her never went unnoticed by the Ao guardians and all those who looked in from time to time from the only home they had left for now, your Ao moon. Ao/Earth's parent often looks in on her also, just as the cosmic creator herself does. Ao mining Mordk's debris piled on top of their dead on Tiamat/Earth's exterior is unforgivably continued in. Chapter 7, The DNA Creation of the First Slave Race. Chapter 7. As time passed by, her body began to slowly heal within, while her exterior flourished in an abundance of colorful flora. Through her blood vessels, he soon absorbed the healing properties from multiple widespread plants the botanists had planted they knew would help her to absorb. There were many who journeyed here from multiple worlds throughout the cosmic realm to offer an added variety of plants to aid in her healing process. While Prince Ea/Inki was busy looking after Tiamat/Earth's needs, others from his own home world were mining here and on the planet you call Mars. They needed the gold to protect them from incoming radiation sunburst, as they were orbiting too close to the sun. This was ground into a fine powder then sprayed throughout their upper atmosphere. When away from their world, they carried what they needed for the duration of their trip with them. A very tiny portion of the gold dust was mixed with water daily to drink. Please don't try this at home, a monoatomic gold is quite different to the elements in the gold you buy and wear as pieces of jewelry. After returning home for a much needed rest, the men complained about how tired they were and expressed their desire to remain home with their families. They then asked Prince Ea/Inki to create a new race of beings much larger and stronger than they were to do the work for them. The prince thought about this for a while. The men refused to let it go until he finally agreed. He spoke about this solution to his brother. Prince Enlil was completely against such an idea. He was not one to desecrate the fossilized bodies of the deceased to create a new species to be used as a slave race. Prince Ea/Inki's half-sister had previously created other hybrid slave workers, as well as one he referred to as a beast from the jungle. The two then introduced the being to their father King Ainu as a solution to replace the existing workers, the Ainunnaki. Ainunnaki is merely a word to describe them as being heroes, better known as the Aect, the givers of life. They are not a different species of people. Prince Ea/Inki wanted to take full rights to rule over this world from his brother Prince Enlil, and Prince Enlil wanted nothing more than to remain in the quiet of his own home world. But it was not to be, as their father King Ainu told his son Enlil, Ao, you will stay and continue as lord over the skyways while your brother continues working to create a new worker beast. A Prince Enlil did not care much for his sister's beastly creation, So Prince E8/Inki saw an opportunity to seek revenge against his brother. Prince E8/Inki was infuriated over losing full control of his beloved Tiamat, Earth. To agitate and frustrate his brother, Prince E8/Inki authorized a new worker species to be created using the one Prince Enlil disliked so much. The condition was, Prince E8/Inki was to only combine the DNA of the beast with the cellular material from an Anunnaki lord that Prince Enlil himself had specifically chosen. Instead, Prince E8/Inki substituted cells of his own choosing, DNA extracted out of the clay from the deceased Titan and Olympian children to mix with his sister's creation, the beast from the jungle. This was his efforts to attempt at creating a slave race. His vengeful experiment failed as the redesigned species was unable to reproduce. When surpassing Prince E8/Inki of his own height of 12 feet, they were merely still developing children and difficult to control. Late one night when they were meant to be sleeping, those children learned the truth about their origins when overhearing a conversation between other assisting scientists. Hearing this set them off on an uncontrollable killing rampage. Ao, they never asked to be created as an abomination of life from their deceased relative Asa, outraged over what he now held his brother responsible for, Prince Sinlilen instigated the great flood depicted in ancient texts to kill the giant children his brother had created by using sound vibrations from his craft while hovering at separate intervals over the north and south poles to melt the ice and flood the earth. During the time those children existed from his first attempt at creating a slave worker, Prince E8/Inki and his sister had made a second attempt to create a worker beast using his own sperm. His half-sister's eggs, combined together with the DNA of the beast from the jungle. The animal was once a pet belonging to the deceased children that had survived the earlier bombardment. He then implanted six of his female scientists to carry the embryos. They were removed at 2 months just as it had been done in his first attempt. Their growth was then continued in a liquid oxygen chamber. As a result, a new slave race was born and many of them survived the flood. Ao, there are no words to express the heartbreak I feel in knowing what happened here. Ao continued in Chapter 8, The Mooncraft Construction, Chapter 8. Many referred to as Aeomens by your astronomers are abandoned cells. The beings that once lived within them have taken flight long ago. Two halves of what had become abandoned Ao cells were used to create an escape craft from Maulk's pending destruction. As a whole cell, some have a very large hole in the more open fissure from where the being has emerged. They are not all identical, some do differ from others in size as well chemical and biological composition. This depends on the form of the Ao living being a thriving while growing inside. Due to the nature of the partial damage to the cells caused by the being's departure, it became necessary to cut two whole ones in half to create one perfect sphere. Choosing two that were almost the same size did not come easy. Further alterations would need to be done after the division was completed. Being of such a great stature in height along with the technology to perform such a task, this would still prove to be a difficult one. Precision was everything. Following the successful division of the two cells, they found that the inner structure of one was thicker than the other, nor did they quite fit together in circumference. It had become quite clear to the Titan and Olympians attempting this task, the cell with the thinner crust was slightly larger. This meant they needed to laser the larger half into sections, then adjust the setting to heat enabling them to fuse the sections needed back together until they had a perfect fit in circumference to match the thicker half of the other cell. Leftover remnants were disintegrated rather than simply discarded to float around in space. Once the fusion process was completed, they then created a life support system that would sustain their lives inside and out. Ao, they created an atmosphere. A large circular holes were then drilled all over the surface. Purpose: to install pre-made Ao reinforced crystalline dermiser which would allow the natural light to stream into the interior. Protruding up out of the center of the domes were very tall air vents. A water recycling irrigation system was also created then filled with melting blocks of ice that had been cut, loaded then transported to the Ao Mooncrafter from their home world. Others worked alongside their partners and relations on the interior building suitable dwellings for living. Various other buildings were also constructed on the surrounding exterior. Some were to house machinery, some were greenhouses to grow produce and house their livestock.